What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Y'all think Ron's in the doghouse? Tyler, you think Ron's in the doghouse? I mean, if Ron, here's the
always thing. A possibility with that man.
Well, getting stuck in Turks and Caicos could be absolutely beautiful if you and the wife just had a tremendous time.
That is the key factor.
I mean, we've made some good loving. We've eaten good. Our friends, nobody's fighting a friend group. You're not mad at me because I got too drunk at the pool. They're not mad at me because we went out one night. Maybe I flirted with somebody I shouldn't have flirted with. No, you're not mad.
She knows.
We're literally all on cloud nine and we get three more days
That's a good point.
Is Ron getting straight cold shouldered and is like, damn it, I got three more days of this.
I got to get out of here. Yeah.
He's looking for the stiffest pink drink he can find. We'll see if we can get a report. Because I'll be honest with you, it wouldn't shock me either way. It wouldn't shock me either way if Ron was in the doghouse or if he may be sucking on a pink drink right now and with his hand on Courtney's thigh. But I don't, it's a wide range there, boy. I'll get to this news real quick. Yordan Alvarez, y'all. Yordan's important, but he's not more important than Ron and a hurricane getting stuck in Turks and Caicos, by the way. Yordan Alvarez, he'll begin a minor league rehab assignment Tuesday down in Corpus Christi. How about that for the folks down in Corpus Christi? You can go to the ballpark and catch Yordan Alvarez. He will play Tuesday. He'll rest Wednesday. And then he will play back-to-back and could join the team in Baltimore. Because what the Astros have now is they've got a three-game set in Detroit. And then they've got a four-game set in Baltimore. And so a week from now, they will have been in Baltimore for a few days. And so that's how Yordan Alvarez has time to get a game in, a rest day, and then a back-to-back and could join the boys in Baltimore. By the way, he has been out since May the 2nd with this hand fracture and then the subsequent inflammation issues that have come since. So May, June, July, 3 months, a little over 3 months. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it was the start of May too, right? Yeah, so it's been three and a half months. Yeah.
Wow. Golly. Yeah,
he only played about a month.
But Yordan is back. It looks like he's back on track to join the fellas, assuming he has no setbacks, join the fellas sooner rather than later. That's big news right there, Luke.
It is. It's potentially big news because I think still with the Astros, you always hold your breath with any of these updates. I mean, we heard before, especially with Yordan this year, a swing and a bat could return or take bat, whatever all the reports were. He's getting close, and then it's like, oh, actually, you know what? He needs to shut down. He can't swing a bat at all. We've had two setbacks already. And so the big test, I think, will be the back-to-back games. And then obviously just seeing live pitching. I think they said he only saw 8 live at-bats in Palm Beach. So he just hasn't seen live pitching. He's been on the shelf for 3.5 months. So getting that timing back, it is a little easier now. They have these crazy pitching machines where you can actually replicate any pitcher in Major League Baseball. And they'll throw that pitcher's arsenal at you. So, you know, like you can... It's not like it used to be even just 10 years ago in terms of trying to get your timing back where you need these rehab games. That's why for Yordan, you play parts of 3 games this week and you could be back in the big leagues. But I think it'll still take some time for him to fully get back into his midseason form, especially because he wasn't already having a good year. But I think this weekend when Baltimore is pushing it, but maybe Tuesday when they return home and take on the Rockies, and then that'll be a week after he started his rehab, like that might be a likely scenario, and you hope you get him back next week and plug him in this lineup.
I think he should get on that machine, that technology you're talking about, and face old boy from Lumberton for the next week. just face old buddy from Lumberton, and that way when that start comes up in Baltimore, because you know we're going to see him again. Hell, it's literally within 7 days of the last one, right? We're definitely going to see him again. So go ahead and get ready for Big Boy from Lumberton and see if you can't sneak up on him. Hell, he wasn't any good until he faced the Astros.
Yeah, so. until John Lopez guaranteed an Astros victory Friday. putting down this
great
guy.
That was great for my betting. I didn't even tell you this, Dirty Red. Old Lopez gave me some betting advice. It started out tremendous. Started out tremendous Friday. He hit me up. He said, hey, I know you don't watch a lot of soccer. You're going to want to bet on this. I can't remember what it was now. But he said, bet on this today. They got an afternoon match and parlay it with the Astros going tonight. Framber on the mound. Easy money. So I followed his instruction. That soccer match, sure enough, hit easy. Great recommendation, J-Lo, at Astros money lines. They almost got perfect game.
That'd be a hard watch. Right?
That was tough. We're entering the fifth or sixth being perfect game for the Astros, and I'm looking down, and there's J-Lo texting me. Well, this isn't working out. No doubt, OG, but it's all right. It's all right.
You'd rather than parlays, just lose the first one, get the hell out of the way. Then hit one or hit two or three, and then you're waiting on one, and that last one doesn't hit. Hey, well, real quick, Luke, just what do you think this lineup, because a lot has changed. A lot has changed since Yordan Alvarez went out. I mean, hell, was Jeremy Pena leadoff hitter when Yordan went out?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, so that's changed. Paredes is gone. Jesus is been traded for. Carlos has been traded for. Yeah. So you got two. What does this lineup look like when Yordan gets back? Obviously, he's in a three hole. I mean, I would think three hole no matter what, right?
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I'm of the school of thought that you put your best hitters 2 and 4, and you avoid the three hole. No spot in the lineup comes up to the plate with the bases empty more often than the three hole hitter.
Now, where in the hell did you? This is why I love Luke. Now, many reasons, Luke, but this is good. We've already learned Harrison Bryant was a tackle at some point in his, I think, high school career. So there's some blocking background there, which turns me on, by the way. I'm not minimizing it at all. And now we have found out that the 2 and 4 hole hitter is where it's at. Where in the hell did you find that at?
Well, it's part of this whole new analytical trend in baseball and the thought process of you put your best hitters 2 and 4, and the 3 hole is you put a good hitter, but you kind of hide them away. You stash them away there because – statistically, right, in the very first inning against the starting pitcher, the first two guys get out, third guy comes up, there's 2 outs, nobody on base, and you kind of waste that at-bat for your top hitter. So, yeah, no spot in the order comes up to the plate more often than the 3-hole with the bases empty and 2 outs, just simply based off of first innings more often than not. So, with that being said, I'd probably put Yordan 4. You know, if you want to go Pena, obviously still leads off. Keep Altuve in the 2-hole. Correa can be that 3-hole hitter, and then Yordan 4, and that's a pretty good start to your lineup with those 4 guys.
So give it to me again. I'm still stuck on. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to punch holes in your theory there. But go ahead.
Pena, obviously, you keep lead off.
Yes.
And then I would keep Altuve 2. Correa, I would put 3, and then I would have Yordan be the cleanup hitter. Is what I would do. And then after him, I don't know what Christian Walker 5.
Yeah.
Sanchez maybe against certain pitchers.
Well, you're talking Christian Walker, Diaz, Sanchez. Yes,
yeah.
You got some options. That'll be interesting. It's crazy how one guy coming back like that changes the lineup so much, man. I mean, he's the only guy in an Astros uniform that I think strikes fear into. Now, look, I know Altuve to a certain extent does, but Yordan is on a whole different level. Like, you've got to pitch around him. Like, you've got to – I mean, this guy could end the game at any moment, and so it's always – he puts fear in the opponent, so it just changes – the entire game. By the way, guys, can I say I understand this. I understand why this is a thing. I get it. But if I'm Chaz McCormick, I'm asking for my release.
Yeah? Because of the pitching?
Yes. It's a slap in the face, man. I mean, straight up, whether they – like, I'm not saying that as in the Astros are intentionally doing so or anything, but ultimately – that's what it's going to feel like to this guy.
Bro, there's something, Tyler. And I'm not saying that they're making anything up. There's something about Chaz McCormick. There's something they don't like. There's something that they just do not trust. They don't have faith in. They don't believe in. Because, I mean, this is an organization that, damn it, man, the way they treated Jake Meyers, man, when they believe in you, man, they're gonna stand by you.
Every chance in the world.
There is no question. They're going to stand by you without a doubt. Abreu. I mean, I'm talking about first baseman Abreu. I mean, they believed in that Joker, man. They're going to stand behind that Joker. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they shouldn't, but look at Yainer Diaz right now. That whatever he's doing behind the plate is rough to watch, man.
Amateur.
By the way, Luke, we got to talk about that because I know you got some inside information. I know that's not all the catcher. I mean, I know there's that's not all the damn catcher, but you know what I mean?
Like, well, what you're saying with Chaz absolutely adds up.
I mean, this is a guy, like, it's one thing if he had never done anything, but this guy for a season in Major League Baseball was a top 10 center fielder, made like season changing plays defensively in the playoffs in the outfield, had big hits. I don't know how he just sits there and eats this, man. I don't know how he sits there and wears this. We're talking this Melton kid.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, and I know Taylor Trammell's your guy, but I mean,
That's right.
You'll come at me about white boy Chaz. And it's not even, I would be disappointed. Like, if I were Chaz, I would feel a little bit disrespected if it were just like a 50-50 deal. If it was just kind of like I'm losing half the starts. No Jake Myers. And these dudes, I don't know what the hell Melton's done. Like, when you got a guy that you have literally seen go up there and hit, I mean, high 200s and have 900 OPS and make big plays in the outfield, and you're choosing to play Trammell and Melton, and like, even when they're not hot anymore. Like, I understand, yeah. like Trammell was hot at one point, and I understand they're left-handed bats. I get that. I totally understand that. But, man, if I'm Chaz McCormick, man, maybe I'm not asking for my release, but I am damn sure, like, talking to somebody, asking for a meeting with somebody just to get a lay of the land of what the hell's going on.
That's fair. Yeah, there is something that they just don't see a future with him, obviously. I mean, even Cooper Hummel was getting – now they finally released him, but Cooper Hummel was getting, you know, more at-bats than Chaz in the outfield. So there's just something there that the Astros obviously don't like or don't see a future, to the point where they're willing to risk it by putting him on the mound. I mean, I remember when Jose Canseco threw out his arm pitching in a blowout, you know?
That'd be even worse, wouldn't it?
But it's like, oh, we need a position, but I just throw Chaz out there because God forbid he gets injured. Like, yeah, who cares? Instead of Dubon or somebody else. So yeah, it is pretty insulting, I guess, if you are that position player that is asked to pitch and to do it twice in the same week. It's clear the Astros, they don't seem to see a future in Chaz McCormick.
I'm going
to
be honest, but it's gotten plum-ass disrespectful, Luke. I mean, it ain't just – it's got plum-ass disrespectful. Like, I don't know that if I were him, if I didn't – next, I would wait till the next time they needed me to pitch. And it would be 12-0 in the ninth, and I'd take that mound, and I'd warm up one pitch, and I'd leave that sucker on that rubber and walk my ass out. Nah, you can get somebody else out here, boss.
And, I mean, even going back, like, speaking of this possible, like, what is going on behind the scenes? Why do they have a problem or an issue with Chaz? Like, going back, I feel like Espada and the GM, Dana Brown and company, like, they've done a pretty good job the last year or two of being, you know, Switzerland when talking about Chaz. They're not going to give too much away. They're going to give you coach speak. But if you remember when Dusty was managing this squad, old Dusty Baker, like, he was a little less, he wasn't quite as good at hiding those things. And there were multiple moments where he would bring up the name of Chaz McCormick, and we would all look at each other like, okay, there's an issue here.
Brings,
like,
you Twinkies every day, man.
Yeah. But then he had to come back with the, well, I know he loves banana pudding.
It was banana pudding.
I bring it to him, so I don't hate Chaz, but he had said things that made you went, like, there's something with Chaz and Dusty that just didn't quite jive in right. So I don't know, there could be something going on.
Well, you reach a point, guys, to where it's hard for me to lean into, like, analytics. Well, you know, the lefty righty, the
according to Baseball Prospectus,
well, he hits this, you know, he really struggles against this off speed or this velocity or the right hander or the left hander, so the future's just not as bright as Taylor Trammell or like you said, what was buddy's name at the
Hummel? Yeah.
I mean, it's gotten to a point where it's not Jake Myers who has come around, and now you look at it and you go, hey, okay, I get it. Jake's hitting 300. He's a gold glove center fielder. Cool. Or what is Ryan calling bronze glove? That's cool. Right? I get it. But I mean, it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys now to where you were just going, it's hard to be. It's hard to be my man right now. I mean, Chaz is – I get a daily text from Mama Sterner talking about, what the hell has Chaz done? Why do they not like Chaz? I said, I don't know, Mom. I'll get to the end of it, at the bottom of it on the radio today.